Continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 28, today's verse is text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayo Mudirayet.
Tato Jayo Mudirayet.
Nashta Prayeshva Vadreshu.
Nashta Prayeshva Vadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavat Yutama Shloke.
Bhagavat Yutama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Nayat purasta dutayan paschan.
Nayat purasta dutayan paschan.
Maji chatanavya padesha matram.
Maji chatanavya padesha matram.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yajyat.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yajyat.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Nayat purasta dutayan napaschan.
Nayat purasta dutayan napaschan.
Madhye chatana vyapadesha matram.
Madhye chatana vyapadesha matram.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yajyat.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yajyat.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Yat parasta dutayan napaschan.
Yat parasta dutayan napaschan.
Madhye chatanna vyapadesha matram.
Madhye chatanna vyapadesha matram.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yadyat.
Bhutam prasidham cha parena yadyat.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Tat eva tatsyat iti me manisha.
Na. Does not exist.
Does not exist.
Yet.
Yes.
That which.
That which.
Purastat.
Purastat.
Previously.
Previously.
Bhuta.
Bhuta.
Nor.
Nor.
Yet.
Yet.
Which.
Which.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Paschat.
Paschat.
Afterward.
Afterward.
Madhye.
Madhye.
In between.
In between.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Tat.
That.
That.
Na.
Na. Does not exist.
Does not exist.
Vyapadesha matram.
Vyapadesha matram.
Merely a designation.
Merely a designation.
Bhutam.
Bhutam.
Created.
Created.
Prasiddham.
Prasiddham.
Made known.
Made known.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Parena.
Parena.
By another.
By
yat, yat,
yat, yat,
whatever,
whatever,
tat,
that,
eva,
eva,
only,
tat,
that other,
other.
Siat, actually is,
iti,
thus, may,
my,
manisha,
idea.
Translation. That which did not exist in the past and will not exist in the future also has no existence of its own for the period of its duration, but is only a superficial designation. In my opinion, whatever is created and revealed by something else is ultimately only that other thing. Purport. Although all material products, such as our own bodies, are temporary, and thus ultimately false, the material world is a real manifestation of the Lord's potency. The basic substance or reality of this world is the personality of Godhead Himself, whereas the temporary designations imposed by the conditioned souls are illusion. Thus, we consider ourselves American, Russian, British, German, Indian, black, white, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, and so forth. In fact, we are the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, that by attempting to exploit the Lord's inferior marginal potency, we have become entangled in illusion. Everything should be properly defined in terms of the personality of Godhead, who is the essential reality of this and all other worlds. Om Gyam Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamahang Bande Sri Gurun Tirotarinam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nayat Purastat Utayanna Paschan Madhye Chatanna Vyapadesha Matram Bhutam Prasidham Chaparena Yajat Tat eva tat syad iti me manisha. That which did not exist in the past and will not exist in the future also has no existence of its own for the period of its duration, but is only a superficial designation. In my opinion, whatever is created and revealed by something else is ultimately only that other thing. So here Krishna is again emphasizing that there's nothing that is real except Him. He's been doing this now for the last four or five verses, and the next verse is exactly the same. He's really trying to get this point across to Uddhava. Now, why is he trying to get this point across to Uddhava, who's a pure devotee? You'd think, well, obviously Uddhava knows this. Krishna just has to say it once, but Krishna keeps emphasizing it again and again and again. Because the illusion is so strong that when we come under her influence, we believe that what we think is right, is true, is actual, is factual. Here in the purport, it's very clearly explained that everything should be properly defined. Not improperly, but properly defined. How are things properly defined? In terms of the personality of Godhead. Everything should be related to Sri Krishna. If you take Krishna out of the process, what are you left with? Well, as Krishna says, in my opinion, whatever is created and revealed by something else other than me is ultimately only that other thing, whatever it is. And if it didn't exist in the past or in the future, then it has no existence right now. So in other words, Krishna is saying, if it didn't exist in the past and it didn't exist in the future, how could it exist now? How could it possibly exist now? It never existed before, never will exist again. How could it exist now? Only in our own mind. Only due to our own perception. So everything should be properly defined in terms of the personality of Godhead. And this understanding, this teaching is what Srila Prabhupada brought to us. Prabhupada was so strong and so powerful in presenting Krishna consciousness that within 4 years, Hare Krishna became a household word around the world, especially in the Western countries, the open countries. And in fact, Hare Krishna became so well known that when Prabhupada came to America, for example, they thought his name was Hare Krishna, because Hare is an English name. They never knew the word Prabhupada. They never knew the name Bhaktivedanta Swami, because Prabhupada never emphasized himself. It was always Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then when the devotees realized that, they said, hey, you know, Prabhupada's always pushing Krishna, but we should let people know who Prabhupada is. Prabhupada was so humble, he never presented himself at all. So that we call the transparent via media. He is so transparent, you don't see him, you only see Krishna. You don't hear him, you only hear Krishna. And even the public thought that he was Hare Krishna, so transparent. Hare Krishna. Excuse me, Mr. Krishna, could you make a comment for our TV audience here? So, we made this point before that transparent via media is like a window. The glass is completely transparent, and when you look at the window, you look through and you see what's behind. You see the trees, the grass, the birds, and the whatever. And then one great pundit made the point that only a glass cleaner sees the glass. Only a glass cleaner sees the glass. Everyone sees it transparent, as a transparent via media. And so therefore, Prabhupada explained to us that the Guru is the transparent via media. He does not focus attention on himself. He focuses all his attention on Krishna, and that's what makes him bona fide. Because all other gurus, well, let's say not all other gurus, but all other non-bona fide gurus focus attention on themselves. They don't focus attention on Krishna. And so the followers of those gurus become attached to the person, but that person didn't exist before, he doesn't exist, he won't exist after. Swami beyond Ananda, let's say. But he's presenting himself now as the absolute truth. So these are all temporary designations, Swami beyond Ananda or whatever, American, Russian, British, black, white, Hindu, Muslim. It's all temporary designations. So if I say I'm a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu, if that's a temporary designation, then what does that say about the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, and the Hindu religion? If by identifying with those religions it's a temporary false designation, and what about the religion itself? What do you think? Who has an opinion on this? Yes?
Religion is eternal because it comes to Christian and to the Christian bacteria and his form according to translation.
Yeah, everybody heard that? Did everybody hear that?
No.
Well, basically, if I can repeat, she was saying that the process of bhakti yoga is eternal, whereas all these other man-made, well, these religions are more or less according to time, place, and circumstance. Is that what you said? Okay, now you have...
In other words, they're temporary.
In other words, they're temporary. What were you going to say? Same thing. Also correct. Let's look at that. Let's analyze that. Let's look at, because since today is we're glorifying the birth of a wonderful pure devotee, who Prabhupada said is my guru, Lord Jesus. When they asked Lord Jesus, can you please explain to us what is the essence of your teachings? In 25 words or less, what is your teaching? And he said, my teaching is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That is bhakti yoga. The whole focus is on Krishna. So when he says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength, is that 10%, 50%, or 100%?
100%.
That's 100%, isn't it? So that's the teaching. But what happened after the guru left, after this pure devotee left, what happened? The man-made ideas come in. And before long, it's changed. For example, Lord Jesus said, I come not and speak my own words, but I speak the words of he who sent me. And I do not my own bidding, but I do the bidding of he who sent me. It's obvious to anyone with half a brain that he who sent me, Jesus is saying that I'm his servant. I'm speaking what he told me to say. I'm doing what he told me to do. But yet they forget that person and they say Jesus is God. They made Jesus into a God. And he's saying, if he's the God, then he's saying, love me with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. The focus is on me, not on Krishna. So in this way, our mind perverts everything. And we get a perverted understanding. And the expression of our love and our service ends up becoming a ritual. And that ritual ends up being done automatically. Automatic pilot. We just do the ritual, and when it's over, we leave. And we feel that we've done something spiritual. But where is the love? Bhaktya mam abhijanati. When Krishna says, only by devotion can I be known. Only by devotional service. What is the difference between service and devotional service? Well, devotion, okay.
One's conscious and one's unconscious.
Yep. What were you going to say?
Service to Krishna and devotion service.
Devotion will put your heart into it and service sometimes.
Exactly. The difference between service and devotional service is the devotion, is the love, is the heart. Whatever we offer to Krishna, I can guarantee you that Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Balaram, or everybody else gives him much better than what we can give. Whatever we offer him to eat, he eats much better what Radharani cooks. However we take care of him and dress him, Mother Yashoda does a much better job. So what is he accepting? Is he accepting inferior service or is he accepting our loving endeavor?
Loving endeavor.
Loving endeavor. Here's a famous story. And when I was in Rishikesh recently, we stayed at the Paramat Niketan Ashram overlooking the Ganga because they invited me to come and sing there every evening for the Ganga Aarti. They do a Ganga Aarti every evening. Offering puja to Mother Ganga, day after day, month after month, year after year. So they gave us a really nice room. And I was walking through their ashram, and they have these beautiful dioramas. And all the dioramas are from the Bhagavatam. So I realized, you know, these people, they're really into Krishna. And then one of the dioramas really captured my attention. It shows a woman having just finished an offering to Krishna, and Krishna holding a banana peel. Does anybody know this leela? So let me tell you what the leela is, because this is a very deep, profound leela. And the fact that they had this diorama in that ashram spoke volumes to me. So Krishna would come to visit Hastinapur, and in Hastinapur lived Vidura, a great devotee of the Lord. In fact, Vidura is the incarnation of Yamraj. Yamraj is also known as Dharmaraj, the king of Dharma. He's also the king of death. Because at the end of your life, he looks at your Dharma and decides whether where you're going to go next. So he invited Krishna, "You please come to my home." And Krishna says, "Okay, I might be able to come tomorrow, but I'm not sure at what time." So Vidura said, "Any time you come is perfect." So the next day he was all ready, all prepared, had everything set out for the puja and everything. But then he got a message that he had to be somewhere. So he said to his wife, "Look, I have to leave for a short period of time. If Krishna comes, you take care of him nicely." And then he left. And of course Krishna came when Vidura wasn't there. So his wife was in ecstasy, because she never got to do the puja, she never got to do direct service to Krishna, because Vidura was always doing it. So she had Krishna sit down very nicely. She offered him a beautiful seat and nice water to drink. And she wanted to offer him something to eat. So she peeled this banana, and she was in such ecstasy and overcome by love, tears in her eyes. By accident, she offered the peel instead of the banana. Krishna started eating that peel. Just at that moment, Vidura came home and he saw his wife holding the banana and Krishna eating the peel. And he started chastising his wife. "What kind of service is this? You offered the peel and not the banana." And Krishna said, No, Vidura. This is the best prasadam I've ever tasted. This peel was more tasty to Krishna than any fruit. Why? Because of the devotion and love by which the wife offered that. So this is what Krishna tastes. The love in the offering. So when you offer the peel with such love and devotion, it's so much more tasty than the actual fruit. There was another example. One brahmana, he didn't have a murti, and he was poor, and he wanted to worship Krishna opulently, so he used to do manasa puja. In the shastras, it explains that manasa puja, worshipping the Lord in your mind, is as powerful, or even more powerful, than worshipping the Lord in the temple directly to his murti. So in his mind, he had a beautiful murti, and he would decorate that murti with beautiful silks and beautiful clothing and jewels of all kinds, ornaments and everything. And he would offer all opulent, beautiful, wonderful prepared foodstuffs on golden plates. And then for dessert, he would offer some fabulous sweets. So on one time, he had offered sweet rice. And then he was thinking, maybe this sweet rice should have been cooled. Because generally you don't offer sweet rice immediately when it's hot. You wait till it cools. Because when it cools, it gets thicker. And when it gets thicker, it gets a little sweeter. So in his mind, he put his finger in it to test it to see if it was too hot. Maybe Krishna would burn his tongue. And he burnt his finger. And when he came out of meditation, his finger was burnt. So the Shastra tells us this story, this history, to let us know that this manasa puja is as valid as our waking consciousness puja. And in fact, it may even be more valid. Why is it more valid? Because at the time of death, when the body is stiff and cannot move anymore, because it's no longer alive, you've died, the only thing you have left is your mind. And if you've practiced Manasa Puja, then immediately you're there with Krishna. Immediately you can chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nobody here has heard the story of Richard Dixon. So I'm going to tell you the story of Richard Dixon. Richard Dixon from New York City. He was a musician. And he used to come to the temple every Sunday with all his other musician friends. And Hare Krishna was his religion. But he was a musician, and he played in clubs, and he stayed up in the clubs till all hours of the night. And even though he was a devotee, and he chanted Hare Krishna, took prasadam, and his wife was very, very devoted, he was very weak when it came to controlling the senses. And sometimes he would get intoxicated. And sometimes late at night in these clubs he would get so intoxicated he would even proposition some woman and have illicit sexual connections. And of course he felt terribly guilty. And then he'd come to the temple on Sunday and be like very remorseful. Anyway, we knew Richard Dixon. And one time when I came to New York City on my travels, he approached me and said, Oh, Vyasaki. I said, what's the problem? I've been diagnosed with cancer. The doctor says I only have 6 months left to live, and I'm terrified. I said, why? Oh, the life that I've led. I've led such a terrible life. And he told me some of these things. What should I do? I said, you got to take shelter of the Lord right now. You really have to take shelter of the holy name. You have to forget everything else. And you should get initiated. So then, you know, I'm always traveling and preaching. So about 3 months later or so, I came back and he was now in a wheelchair. He couldn't even walk. And he was like completely in great fear. And he had approached Satyaraj. Satyaraj, you may know, he's written many books. And he had asked Satyaraj, please approach the temple authorities in New York and ask them to initiate me. Because I'm terrified. Because he was reading Prabhupada's books, he was chanting Hare Krishna. And he read in the Nectar of Devotion that if you don't take initiation, you're not properly connected. So Satyaraj approached the GBC and temple president in New York City temple. However, they said, Richard Dixon, we know Richard Dixon. We can't give him initiation. Are you kidding? You have to wait so many years and you have to do this and that and you have to be recommended. We can't recommend him. The GBC will never accept this. So Satyaraj said, but he's going to die. He needs to be connected. What can we do? I said, well, I don't know. We can't do anything. So then Satyaraj said, well, would you mind if I took him to, you know, an outside guru, outside of ISKCON, and connect him? No, you do that. That's a great idea. You do that. So there are many Gaudiya Math sannyasis who are traveling and preaching around the world. So he approached one of them and explained the situation. And he also said, how can I initiate someone like that? How can I do that? You have to have adhikar. And then Satyaraj pleaded on behalf of Dr. Richard and said, he's going to die in 3 months. He's really sincere. He realizes, you know, what he's done in his life. He's completely remorseful and he's begging for mercy. And so Satyaraj convinced the sannyasi and he said, okay, on your recommendation, I'm going to take this risk
an initiator. So then Richard Dixon and his wife went to see that sannyasi on a particular day and got initiated. And he became Radhe Shyam Das.
Yes.
Radhe Shyam Das. Now, he actually became Radhe Shyam Das. He was so into it. So, back at his home now, he had become really bedridden. And the next time I came around New York, he was completely bedridden. He couldn't even be in the wheelchair. And they said he had only 2 weeks left to live. And that there was devotees there at his house chanting regularly from the New York temple. Now, it just so happened that one Mataji had come from the Detroit temple, shifted to the New York temple, and she happened to be a nurse. So then the temple president said, why don't you go stay at Radhe Shyam Das's home with his wife and look after him and care for him. So Krishna sent a nurse to take care of him. So I went there to help with the kirtans for him. So I was brought into his room and he's lying there, hardly any movement, completely stiff, bead bag in his hand, always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Tape of Prabhupada playing 24 hours a day, pictures of Krishna and Prabhupada everywhere, no matter where his eyes went, on the ceiling, on the walls, the foot of the bed, everywhere, all he could see was either Krishna or Prabhupada. Prabhupada chanting continuously. And we came in and we started chanting and everything. And everybody was there. Then, of course, you know, I'm coming in, preaching and leaving. So then, a few weeks later, Satyaraj contacted me. I spoke to him and he told me what happened on the final day. Oh, by the way, when I was there, Richard told me that because his parents were there, his brothers and sisters, they were all there because the son is dying, the brother is dying. But they were not allowed to come into his room unless they spoke about Krishna. They said anything else, they were not allowed, his own parents. They were not allowed in that room. Radhe Shyam Das did not want to hear anything that was unrelated to Krishna consciousness. He became so bhaka, so fixed up. Then, so Satyaraj told me what happened on the final day. The doctor had come early in the morning and said, this is it. He's not going to make it. This is his last day, his final hours. The devotees were there. They were chanting Hare Krishna. He had his beads. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. That's the only energy he had. And then he was getting weaker and weaker. Breathing was getting less and less. And then his wife was sitting there. All of a sudden she just had an inspiration. She went out to where they had a tulsi plant. She took a little tulsi leaf and she put it on his tongue as he was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he left his body saying Krishna with a tulsi leaf on his tongue. So when Satyaraj told me that, I said, oh my God, Richard Dixon went back to Godhead. Because it's stated in the Shastra. If you remember the holy name of Krishna at your last breath, you go back home to Godhead. And also there's another verse. If you have tulsi in your mouth, you go back home, back to Godhead. That was very difficult for one particular sannyasi at the temple to believe that Richard Dixon went back to Godhead. And the next time I came, we had a big discussion. And he said, look, I know it was very auspicious. I know that it seems that he went back to Godhead, but I know Richard Dixon. I know what he was like. I know him for years and years. He must have gone back to heavenly planets, very auspicious, but I can't believe he went back to Godhead. And I said, but look at the Shastra, Maharaj. This is what the Shastra says. Krishna is Svarat. He's independent. He can pick whoever he wants. He doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations. We had this big discussion. And the reason that he had such a difficulty accepting the Shastra is because he knew Richard Dixon. In his mind, Richard Dixon was a reprobate. You know? And in my mind, this is what Shastra says, and from what we've seen is he became completely transformed. So in those last few months, when he became Radhe Shyam Das, he really became Radhe Shyam Das. So that's just one example. Now, how dedicated are we compared to this person who we don't know and who many people thought, how could he go back home, back to Godhead? But we accept the version of Shastra. That's it. We don't use our intelligence or our mind to figure it out, this, that, and everything. I knew what he did before. What does Krishna say? This verse I forgot to mention to the Maharaj at the time that we had our discussion, but later on this other verse came to me. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabak. If someone falls down to the most heinous sinful activity, which Richard Dixon was accustomed to, but if he picks himself up and becomes fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, back in devotional service, sadur eva samantavya, I consider such a person as a sadhu. And so, my mind goes back to that verse and the purport there. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that one may fall down once, one may fall down twice, three times. There may be accidental fall down. And when there's accidental fall down, Krishna overlooks that fall down and considers the devotee who becomes fixed in devotional service as a sadhu. Sadhu eva samantavya. I consider him still a sadhu. Krishna doesn't look at the fault. He doesn't look at the fall down. He just looks at the positive. So then, on a morning walk, one devotee, Prabhupada was speaking about this, and one devotee asked this question. Srila Prabhupada, how do we know if a fall down... Oh yeah, because in the purport, Prabhupada says that if it's not an accidental fall down, if it's premeditated, that is the greatest offense. You cannot cheat Krishna. So the question was asked, how do we know, Srila Prabhupada, if the fall down is accidental or premeditated? Good question, huh? Yeah? You like that question? How do we know if it's an accidental fall down or premeditated fall down? So Prabhupada paused for a moment. And then he said, if he comes back, it's an accidental fall down. I consider it an accidental fall down. If he comes back. So when we first heard that, we were thinking, someone falls down today and he comes back tomorrow. Or he falls down today and he comes back in a week. Or he comes back in a month. But what was our experience in ISKCON? We saw several of our God brothers fall down to abominable conditions. From temple president, from GBC, from guru, from sannyas, falling down to abominable as Richard Dixon had been, and had vanished. And then 20 years later, they were about to die. Two particular instances. One of them came here to Australia. You know Upendra? The Australian devotees arranged, like, when they heard that Upendra had AIDS. Now, how do you get AIDS? Well, you all know. So he was a lost soul in that community. And when the Australian devotees heard that, because he was the first one to come and open up the preaching in Australia. So they arranged a collection and they sent him a ticket. He was in San Francisco. And he came on the plane. He almost left his body on the plane. That's how sick he was. And he brought a cane with him. It was Prabhupada's cane that Prabhupada had given him. He was Prabhupada's servant. And you can see that cane now. Upstairs, right here, isn't it? That's Prabhupada's cane that Upendra brought here. And they made an arrangement for him in this temple, in one of the rooms up there. And they always attended to him. He was hearing the holy name constantly. He was getting the garlands from the deities. He was getting the Mahaprasad. And he left his body with the name of Krishna on his lips, hearing the holy name, went back home, back to Godhead. There was another case, a sannyasi. He had fallen down to the same abominable situation. He also had AIDS. This was in California. And he was now at his mother's home, bedridden, practically paralyzed. No, he wasn't paralyzed. He had movement, but he was completely bedridden. And the doctor had come and said to the mother, "This is the end for your son. He has 2 to 3 weeks to live, at most, at best." And the doctor left. And the mother came in to the room and she chastised her son. "Look at you. You've wasted your life. You did nothing. The best time of your whole life was when you were with the Hare Krishnas. Then you were doing something worthwhile." And she was preaching to him like that, blasting him. Then that night she had a dream. And some devotees appeared in her dream. I don't know exactly can't remember exactly the dream. The Los Angeles devotees told me this, but I can't exactly remember if it was Prabhupada or someone else came in her dream, whatever. Anyway, she woke up the next morning. She saw it as an omen. She called the Los Angeles temple. And when they heard that he was about to die, they remembered his service. And they drove about 3 or 4 hours to where he was living, took him back in the car, brought him to the Los Angeles temple, gave him a room. He got the maha every day. He got the garlands. Devotees always in his room chanting Hare Krishna. Same as Upendra, and he left his body chanting, hearing the holy names. So, when I became very introspective about this, I realized just how merciful and kind Krishna is. That these persons had given the best years of their life to Krishna. Then they fell down for decades. But Krishna never forgot. He always remembered and made an arrangement that these devotees would be able to hear the holy name of the Lord at the end of their life. Therefore, Krishna is described as our best friend. Suridam sarvabhutanam. He's the well-wisher of every living entity. He's the best friend of every living entity. And I remember the class Prabhupada gave one time. He said, "How is Krishna your best friend?" Because if you ask anybody who is your best friend, you say, "My dear friend, I've just been informed that I'm going to hell at the end of this life because of my abominable lifestyle. Will you please come and keep me company?" And no one will agree. No one will agree, Prabhupada said. But Krishna will go with you. Krishna will go with you to hell. He'll be in your heart. He'll be there with you. So therefore, Krishna is your best friend, your ever well-wisher. Suridam sarvabhutanam. And when I spoke about this the other day, I explained the meaning of suridam. Su means sweet. Rid means heart. Krishna has a sweet heart for everybody. Not only the devotees, he's the sweetheart of everybody, every living entity. But they've forgotten. But we should not have forgotten. We should understand that we have a relationship with Krishna as a sweetheart. He has a sweetheart for us, and we should have a sweetheart for him. And this is what Prabhupada is bringing to us, connecting us up to our eternal, beloved Sri Krishna, who loves us so much and we've forgotten about Him, turned our back on Him, and offering our love and our worship and our service and our consciousness to everybody else for millions of years except Krishna. And Krishna never holds it against us. Still loves us. One of my godbrothers had a realization that he shared with me, and I'm going to share it with you. He said he had the realization that Krishna is our secret admirer. He's standing in the shadows of love, seeing us running here and there, chasing this loving relationship, that loving relationship. And he's just waiting and waiting and waiting. Secret admirer. That when we finally turn around and said, Krishna, I'm finished with everybody else. I want you. You ever had that experience? Maybe when you were a teenager, you were attracted to someone, but that someone had a relationship with someone else, and you were the secret admirer. You always thought really well of that person, but you couldn't say anything because they were already involved in a relationship. And that's us. We're involved in so many relationships, and we've forgotten Krishna. And in Svetashvatantra Upanishad, Prabhupada explains how in that Upanishad, it describes how within our heart there are two birds. One bird is the Jivatma, the living entity, us. And the other bird is Paramatma, the expansion of Krishna. And the one bird, the Jivatma, is flitting here and there, tasting so many fruits and doing this and that, trying to enjoy. And the other bird is just sitting there patiently. And then finally, the Jivatma bird becomes frustrated and turns to the Paramatma bird and reestablishes a loving relationship. So Krishna is in your heart. How close is that? No matter what kind of a loving relationship you have, when you embrace someone tightly to your breast, they're still outside your body and Krishna's inside. He's right in your heart. No one can be closer to you than Krishna. And that's why Krishna hears our prayers. Because He's not up there somewhere in heaven or wherever. He's right here in our own heart. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. And He still loves us. Can you believe that? So, Prabhupada explained, we have a loving propensity. Let's repose that loving propensity at the worshipable feet, the most worshipable, the most deserving, the most worthy person of all, Sri Krishna. One time in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada was there in the summer, and it was a nice, warm summer day. And so Prabhupada came out about 4 o'clock and sat under a tree. All the devotees gathered for darshan. Prabhupada was sitting there and speaking about Krishna. And because it's a farm, there's many animals there. There's cows, there's dogs, there's cats. Cats keep the rats away. So one cat had just had kittens. So while Prabhupada was speaking, two of these kittens were frolicking, jumping and running and playing and, you know, the way kittens do with each other. And Prabhupada speaking, all of a sudden these two kittens come running and right in front of Prabhupada. And then both of them jump on Prabhupada's lap. And all the devotees go, because they're thinking these animals are muchi. But we think that, don't we? What will Prabhupada do? It was like silence. Prabhupada, he has one hand in his bead bag all the time. So he looks down at these two kittens. And then with his left hand, he starts petting them. And they start going like this. And then they start... And then Prabhupada said, just see, even the animals have love. Everybody has love in their heart. Nobody can say they don't have love in their heart. But where are you giving that love? To whom are you giving that love? That love should be given to Krishna. So, this is the Antarjatik Bhavanamrita Sangha, or translated into English, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Antarjatik Bhavanamrita Sangha. Sangha means an association of like-minded souls. And movement is also an association of like-minded souls. Krishna Consciousness, Bhavanamrita. The bhava, the emotion, the feeling, the love, the nectar, amrita, the nectar. So in Sanskrit, Krishna consciousness means the nectar of the feeling, the loving emotion that you have for Krishna. Krishna Bhavanamrita. So in Sanskrit, it's so much clearer what it's all about. It's not just in our intellect. It's not in the mind, Krishna conscious, I think about Krishna. Because in the Sanskrit, it's in the heart, your bhava, your emotion, your feeling. Amrita, the nectar you're experiencing of that feeling of love towards Krishna. So to get back to the original point, Krishna has everything. He's the controller of everything. He's the owner of everything. There's nothing that is lacking in his life. Who agrees with me? But there's one thing lacking in Krishna's life. There's one thing Krishna doesn't have. He doesn't have everything. There's one thing he doesn't have. And what is that? Your love. Because you're not giving it. It's the one thing Krishna doesn't have is your love. Birth after birth, millions of births. Krishna's been deprived of that. Because we never gave him our love. The one thing he doesn't have, and we're holding it back. What do you think of that? So now, give your love to Krishna. And how do you give your love to Krishna? By the emotion, by the devotion, devotional service. Everything you do should be imbued with devotion. That I'm doing this for you, Krishna. Out of love for you. And the most important service of all the service is this service right here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna told me that when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra with care and attention, care means with feeling. You care, right? And attention. Attention means you're focused. You're not thinking so many things. When you chant with care and attention, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. The holy names, none different than Krishna. We all know that, right? Do we know it? Do we know it?
Yes.
Or have we just heard it? Do we know it? So if you want Krishna to dance on your tongue, just full consciousness. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One final point. In the West, in the Western countries, we consider that consciousness is here. Right? In the brain, in the head. But according to the Vedas, consciousness is not here. It's here. So when Prabhupada translated to English, Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, Krishna Consciousness, to him it meant the consciousness in the heart. And to us it means in our head. So let's go from the head to the heart and we'll be better situated. Much better situated. Because whatever we have in our head, is not so important for Krishna. But what we have in our heart, that love, that is important for Krishna. That is the most important thing. Because it's only by love that we come together with Krishna. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam, kalo naskeva, 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 gatir anyata. You all know this verse? It means that we take shelter of the holy name and there's no other way. What does no other way mean? It means there is no other way. It doesn't need to be translated or interpreted. Now, how many times in this verse is it emphasized that the chanting of the holy names? How many times is that emphasized in this verse? Three. How many people say three? Do we hear any other figures? You're all convinced it's three times? But when I look at that verse, it's eight times. It's emphasized eight times. Let's go over it. Let's make sure. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama. That's three emphasizes, right? Emphasis. Eva. What does Eva mean? Certainly. Is that an emphasis? Certainly means 100% guarantee, right? Is that an emphasis? Okay, four. Eva Kevalam. What does Kevalam mean?
Only.
Only means that everything else is rejected. Is that an emphasis? No other way, no other way, no other way. Four positive emphasis and four negative. In other words, the do's and the don'ts, the yamas and the niyamas. The yamas are the don'ts and the niyamas are the do's. Eight times it's emphasized, and there's only 11 words in that shloka, and eight of the words out of 11 is emphasizing there is no other way. It's only chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So this is the very holy appearance day of two great saints. One is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the other is Lord Jesus. His original name was Yeshua Hanavi. If he was walking down the street today and he said, "Hey Jesus," he wouldn't turn his head because that wasn't his name. His name was Yeshua. He never spoke English. Never spoke Latin either. What languages did he speak? Hebrew and Aramaic. So, he appeared today, and I'm going to tell you a story how much Prabhupada loved Jesus. In 1972, Prabhupada came to the Mexico City temple. And at that time, the temple was just being renovated. Prabhupada had come for the first time, and they didn't have proper room for Srila Prabhupada. So they arranged for a first-class hotel not far from the temple. They got the best room for Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada came, then after taking darshan and seeing the devotees and everything, they brought him to his room in this hotel. And of course, the devotees went ahead first, put the bags there and everything, and then they walked with Prabhupada and said, "This is your room, Srila Prabhupada." They offered their obeisances. Prabhupada went inside and they started to walk away down the hall. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada opened up the door and said, "Take me out of here." And he was in great distress. And the devotees couldn't understand. Oh my God. They ran back, "Srila Prabhupada, what's the problem? What is disturbing you?" And he said, "Look on that wall." And they all looked. You know what was on the wall? It was the crucifix of Lord Jesus. It's a Catholic country. And everywhere you see Lord Jesus on the cross. And he said, "How can I tolerate this? He is my guru. Could you see your mother like that?" Mm-hmm. Tears in his eyes. They brought him out. Wouldn't stay there. That's how much Prabhupada loves the other pure devotees. You should know these things. Because the devotee's heart is soft. And he loves everything. Here's a person who gave his life to bring Krishna consciousness to his people at his time, who couldn't understand a thing. And he said, I have so much more to tell you, but you can't even get it, what I'm telling you now, the ABCs. You just can't bear to hear more. So I'm just giving you the basis. And the other great saint, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a great saint. Now, if I ask any of you, who, like Lord Chaitanya prophesied, Priti Vite Jota Ache Nagara Digram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Mor Nam, that my name will be chanted throughout the whole world, who would you say fulfilled that prophecy of Lord Chaitanya? He says Prabhupada. Who else says Prabhupada? Looks like no one agrees with you. Who fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that the Krishna consciousness movement would go to every town and village? Huh? How many people think Prabhupada? I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. What does Prabhupada think? He's Guru Maharaj. Why? In a purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada comments on this verse. And he says, now we have seen this prophecy has come true. And it has become fulfilled by His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, who is preaching throughout the whole world through His disciples. That's what Prabhupada wrote. So in Prabhupada's mind, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's mission. Why? Because his disciples are preaching all over the whole world. He sent them out all over the whole world. So when I studied that, I thought, well, which disciples were preaching all over the whole world? Which ones are Bhaktisiddhanta? I can only think of one. Prabhupada. But he's so magnanimous. He's saying, you know, all of my God brothers were preaching all over the whole world. Because India is part of the world, right? So Prabhupada's so humble. But he understood that the only reason I have a relationship with Krishna is because I met my spiritual master and he put me on the right track. If he wouldn't have put me on the right track, I wouldn't be on this track. If I would never have met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Therefore, all the credit goes to him. Similarly, if I wouldn't have met Prabhupada, I wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't be speaking anything. I would be fool number one, because that's what I was before. So, I give all credit to Prabhupada. Because he's brought Krishna into our life. And how was it that Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness movement in 10 years to so many people all over the world who never heard of Krishna, who were, you know, breaking all the principles, weren't following any principles whatsoever? How did he get them to surrender and change their lives like 100%? And here's what he said. He said, you don't have to change anything. Just carry on what you're doing, but add Krishna to your life. Just add Krishna. Now, if you tell people to subtract, don't do this, don't do that, you're not going to get so many interested persons. But when he says, just add, okay, add, okay, well, that's good. I'm not losing out on anything. Then he said, you're all intelligent. Boys and girls, he called us boys and girls. You're all intelligent boys and girls. He said, just try the experiment. Try adding Krishna to your life. Chant Hare Krishna and see what is the result. We're not charging anything. No loss for you. If you get a benefit, that's wonderful. Just try it and see for yourself. Okay, that's reasonable. So we tried it and chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and our lives changed. It changed so much that our parents and friends were shocked. isn't it? And we gave everything for Krishna. It became Krishna everything. Everything was for Krishna. It's all we spoke about was Krishna, 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 Krishna. And everywhere you went, you saw a dog, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. To the plants, to the trees, to the flowers. Because why? Now in their next birth, they'll get a human form. That's how we thought. We tried the experiment, we got the result. And then we gave up those things, no problem. I remember the last thing that I gave up was intoxication. I was a musician, so, you know, musicians, they take these things. And then just one day I realized, what? Do I really need this, you know? And I was with a friend of mine, who wasn't a devotee, but just a friend that I knew. I said, you know, this is not taking me where I want to go. We were in a car. I rolled the window down. I threw it out. And I said, from now on, nothing goes in my mouth without first saying the mantra. And that was it. I never thought about it ever again. I got interested in anything intoxication after that. I was convinced. We were all convinced. It wasn't a struggle. So, Prabhupada has given you everything you need to become Krishna conscious. Oh, and here's something else. In February 9th in Los Angeles, Prabhupada came for 2 days. He flew into Los Angeles from Hawaii, Honolulu. So he came in during the day, so there was no morning class. And that evening, the devotees had prepared a drama. The drama was, the Pandavas retire timely. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And the story is that Arjuna and Yudhisthira and Krishna, they're discussing, there must be a way we can avoid this Kurukshetra war. Millions of people are going to die. Wives are going to lose their husbands. The daughters are not going to have any husbands to marry because they'll all be dead. It's going to be chaos. So they came up with a plan. Let's go to Duryodhan and make this deal. And so they go to Duryodhan and they make it an offer and say, look, we're Kshatriyas, Pandavas, we're five of us. Just give us 5 small villages to govern because we're Kshatriyas. And you keep 95%, you can have the 95%, the rest of the whole kingdom. And then that way we don't have to fight. All these lives will be saved. And Duryodhan said, I will not give you as much land as you can put under the head of a pin. And at that point, everybody turned around to look at Prabhupada. Many times during that drama, at dramatic points, everyone would turn around to look at Prabhupada. They were looking at Prabhupada more than they were looking at the... Because they wanted to see how's Prabhupada reacting to this. So at the end, it was like a long drama. It was about an hour. And at the end, Prabhupada started applauding, so everyone was applauding. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Everyone turned around to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada was smiling. Everyone was so happy. And because it was Los Angeles, Prabhupada, in a really good mood, he said, so now the Oscar goes to Yudhisthira. And he gave the Oscar to Yudhisthira, the Academy Award. And now Yudhisthira was played by my godbrother Lokamangala. He's the only devotee that ever got an Oscar from Prabhupada. And then everyone was smiling, Jai, Hari Bol, and it was so wonderful. But then Prabhupada became more serious. And the smile disappeared from his face and became very grave. And as he became grave, everybody became very silent. And it was like completely silent in the room. And then Prabhupada spoke. And he said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking countries. But I am an old man. What can an old man do? Just see how humble Prabhupada is. Look what he's done. And he's saying, I'm just an old man. What can an old man do? Then he said, but my Guru Maharaj was so kind upon me, he sent all of you, American boys and girls, to help me. You see how humble Prabhupada is. He's giving us the credit. Now listen to this. Then Prabhupada said, therefore I'm very happy to say that now Lord Chaitanya's movement is in the right hands. And he went like this. Lord Chaitanya's movement is in the right hands. He was so inspired by that drama. That's what he said. And we were all looking like this. Whose hands? Who's he giving it? We couldn't believe it. And then Prabhupada said, the grandfather is more kind to the children than the father. And therefore, my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, will be more kind to you than he will be to me. That's what Prabhupada said. And I always remembered that. And whenever I did something that got some little bit of recognition, I always thought, wow, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is really blessing. He's really giving the mercy, because that's what Prabhupada said. But now time has passed. Another generation has come. And Prabhupada is your grandfather now. So he's going to give more mercy to you than he will to us. That's what Prabhupada said. Grandfather is more kind to the grandchildren than the father is. So whatever mercy we're getting from Prabhupada, you're going to get more. Have you ever thought that, oh, I'm so unfortunate, I wasn't there when Prabhupada was there? You are so fortunate, you had Prabhupada's direct association. Has anybody ever thought like that? But now I'm sharing with you that Prabhupada said he's going to give more mercy to you than he will to us. Your position is actually better than ours. But you have to realize it. If you don't realize it, then you don't get the benefit. And that reminds me of a very important thing. My godbrother, Vishnujan Maharaj, one of our great devotees in our movement, who's left his body, when he was a brahmachari, he was so enthusiastic. He would go out to Sankirtan 10 hours a day. He was leading every kirtan. He was doing so much service. He was inspiring everybody. Then everyone used to say, oh, you got so much mercy from Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada gave you all the mercy. Oh, we're not getting such mercy as Prabhupada's giving to you. And he'd hear it all the time. So when Prabhupada came one time, there was a darshan, devotees were asking questions, then there was a silence, and he lifts his hand up. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, Srila Prabhupada, why are you giving more mercy to me? He was innocent. Prabhupada said, no. My mercy is equal to everyone, but you are taking it more. You are taking it more. You have to take the mercy. You have to take it. It's there. And Prabhupada gave an example, just like the sunshine. The sun shines equally for everyone. But if you lock yourself up in a room, you can't say there's no sunshine. You have to go out. You have to take it. So you have to take Prabhupada's mercy. If you don't take it, it's there, but you don't take it. It's like prasadam. It's there, you're not eating. So take the mercy. And go back home, back to Godhead in this very life. No more suffering in the material world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any points for discussion? Yes.
I have one comment and one question. The comment is, I attended the workshop organized by you last week. It was such heavy downpour, everything. There were only 9 people, and at the end of 4 hours, they were leading the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So inspiring, really.
But that was not me, that was the holy name. They were inspired by the holy name. And that's the power of this process that even someone like me can get complete strangers to, you know, experience ecstasy chanting Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. Now my question is, why are we dancing and waiting in our mood? So many times we go very ecstatic. Like you were doing kirtan this morning, we were thinking we are already super aware. And then we lose that mood. So why is this so many?
We lose that mood because of bad habits from the past.
Anarthas,
yes. So we have many samskaras in the brain. Samskara is like a bad habit that we've been doing birth after birth after birth after birth. So birth after birth after birth in so many bodies, we've been trying to enjoy the material energy. We're thinking, I'm special, I'm wonderful. We're thinking all these things that in this verse Krishna says has no substance. It's all illusion. Only Krishna is reality. So it's now a samskara in the brain. And now we have to have a new samskara, a positive samskara, Krishna's conscious samskara. So in the morning we come and we follow the process that Prabhupada gave us. And so that's forming a new habit, a new good positive habit. But during the day when we're not protected by the process, everybody together doing it, because in unity there is strength, then we kind of, the mind slips back to the old samskaras, the old bad habits, and we stop thinking of Krishna. We may be meditating on sense gratification. So Prabhupada explained this. He said, in the morning you come, you do the morning program, it's like building a devotional fire in your heart. And then the rest of the day we fall back into our bad habits, and that's like pouring water on the fire. So we build the fire, pour the water. Every morning build the fire, every afternoon pour the water. Build the fire, pour the water. Build the fire, pour the water. You don't make advancement. We have to stop extinguishing the fire of devotional service. We have to stop it. So here's a little test that you can do. Vishnujan Maharaj, he always used to say like this. We have to perform this little test before we say anything and before we do anything. And this is what you have to ask yourself, this question. What I'm about to say, is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? Or what I'm about to do, is this pleasing to Guru or Krishna? You have to ask yourself that question. And if it's not pleasing, you don't do it. Because you know. Maybe I'm going to do some nonsense and I ask myself, is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? No. Good. I don't do it. But if you don't ask yourself that question, you just kind of by force of habit do it without thinking. Like automatically. So we train ourselves up to ask this question before we say anything, before we do anything. Is this pleasing to Guru and Krishna? Once you train yourself up that way, then you know if it's pleasing or not, then you don't do it. This way you stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's one way of staying fixed. Another way of staying fixed is always chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Another way of staying fixed is chanting Hare Krishna without committing any offenses. I mean, there's so many things. There's so many do's, so many don'ts. So we have to study what Prabhupada has written. We have to study his classes, his books, his letters when people wrote to him and asked him questions, because he gives us all the answers. But if we don't take advantage, in other words, this is the mercy. If we don't take the mercy, we remain ignorant. Then we don't know what to do. We don't know what not to do. And what do? We speculate. And there's four regulative principles. And one of them is no gambling or mental speculation. Because mental speculation is a gamble. Because I could be right or I could be wrong. That's what a gamble is. I could win or I could lose. When you know, you know. It's not a gamble. It's 100% right. 100% right. So take the mercy. Everything Prabhupada has given us, it's the mercy. And it's being handed down in parampara to his disciples and then to the grand disciples, which is all of you. You are the next link in the parampara. And the generation after you is depending on you to be the next link in the parampara. To give them what we got, what we received. So you have to come up to the standard. And when you take initiation, that is your responsibility. It's a very serious thing to take initiation. Now you have the responsibility to transmit the mercy coming in parampara without adding anything, without subtracting anything, no mental speculation. You have to give it as it is to the next generation. If you don't, then the whole Guru Parampara system comes to an end. We're all going to leave our bodies. There's not going to be any proper disciples left. You are the future hope of this movement. And don't think, well, someone else will do it. No. You have that responsibility when you took initiation. You have to do it. You can't depend on someone else. It's like a mother has a child. Well, someone else will take care of this kid. No, you have to take care of the kid. Well, I want to go out and enjoy. Well, you can't. That's it. You had this child, that's it. You're not going to sleep properly because he's going to wake up 2 a.m. and start crying. You have to get up and take care. That's the responsibility when you have a child. You don't sleep at nights properly. And you have to change the nappies. It's not nice. And even a greater responsibility is taking initiation and being a link in the parampara and now having the responsibility to transmit it as it is to the next generation. So let's get serious. Any other points for discussion? Today is a half-day fast, by the way, so there's no prasadam till after the noon arti. Yes, you had a question?
Thank you so much for your heartfelt. I wanted to ask, you were saying how when we do devotional studies, we have passing from the heart. But how can you tell when you just being like a bit too emotional, just being a bit of a sahaja, as compared to really giving our heart to Krishna and doing the devotion?
Well, look, no one's a pure devotee. Nobody comes to this movement as a pure devotee. We bring bag and baggage with us. But if we're using our emotion for Krishna rather than for something else, you see what I'm saying? Don't look at it in a negative way. Look at it in a positive way. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the sahajas are a million times better than the mayavadis. That sentimentality is being directed towards Krishna. The mayavadis, they have no feeling for Krishna. Zero. I remember one time I was preaching to a lady, and I didn't know at the time, but she was had been attached to another guru, and she was they were worshiping Lord Shiva, and I was telling her about Krishna, and she said to me, "How would you feel if I told you that Krishna means absolutely nothing to me?" And you know what? When she said that, my heart broke. I felt so sad to hear someone say that. But I didn't let her know. I just said, "Oh, it's okay, no problem." But I was really hurt. That's a feeling, that's an emotion for Krishna. Not a pure devotee, but we have feelings, we have emotions. What do you want to block them off? What do you want to do? You think it's false? You have a feeling for your child, right? Why you wouldn't have a why you wouldn't have a feeling for God? Does anyone say, "Oh, sentimentality. This is terrible the way you're looking after that kid. Would anybody say something like that? It's nonsense. So why would they say that when you have this feeling for Krishna? That means they're not your well-wisher. There's only two classes of people in this world. A, your well-wishers, and B, not well-wishers. Now, why is someone not a well-wisher? Because they're what? They're envious. A non-envious person is always your well-wisher. And if you're not the well-wisher, you have a negative feeling towards that person. That's based on envy. Because the Vaishnava will never put any other living entity into stress or anxiety. He's always the well-wisher of every living entity, even the ant. You know, sometimes we're at the park and we get an ant walking on our arm. If you put your finger there, the ant stops, turns around, goes the other way. You put your finger there, again he turns around. He doesn't know he's on the body of another living entity who's controlling him. He hasn't had that awareness. But what do the devotees do? They just blow him off. But what do the non-devotees do? Because the devotees are the well-wishers. They wouldn't harm even an ant. But the non-devotees, they couldn't care less. Kill them. So whatever positive emotions you have for Krishna, this is wonderful. You're meant to have these things. It's the soul reawakening. We're reviving our original dormant Krishna consciousness. But my heart was broken when she said that. I don't have any feeling. It means nothing to me, Krishna. So, you know, there was some genuine feeling for Krishna that I had there. How would you feel if someone said that to you? Krishna means nothing to me. You wouldn't feel anything? If you don't feel anything, then you got to ask yourself, why am I not feeling anything? I don't have any feeling for Krishna. I'm not hurt. Tears don't come to your eyes sometimes when you're chanting. It says in the Shastra that when chanting the holy name, if tears don't come to your eyes, if your hairs don't stand on end, it should be known that you have a heart like stone. You know that shloka? Have you heard it before? That reminds me of a Prabhupada story. You want to hear another Prabhupada story? So Prabhupada was on a morning walk in England. Now in England, it gets very cold during the winter, but it doesn't really, not this year it's unusual, there's snow there, but normally there's no snow. So it's raining, it's drizzling, it's terrible. It's always gray and drizzling. And then at night it goes below zero and those puddles of water freeze up and they become ice. So Prabhupada, 6 a.m., always goes for his morning walk. So he's walking through a park, Regent's Park it was. And he comes on the footpath, there's this icy patch. So he stops and with his cane, he smashes the ice. And then he carries on walking. And he's walking and chanting and talking. And then he comes to another icy patch. And he stops and with his cane he smashes it. And every time Prabhupada comes to see some ice on the footpath, he smashes it with his cane. So then Tamal Krishna, at that time was Adhikari, he was married. He said, Srila Prabhupada, we notice every time you see some ice, you're stopping and smashing it. Is there a lesson there? Prabhupada said, yes. And this is what he said. He said, the natural constitutional position of water is to be soft and warm. But under the influence of Maya, it becomes cold and hard like ice. Similarly, the natural constitutional position of our heart is to be soft and warm. But under the influence of Maya, our hearts become hard and cold like ice.
So whenever I see the influence of Maya, I smash it. So you're meant to have a soft heart. Devotees are soft-hearted. So don't be down on yourself. Eventually you come to a pure devotee stage, and you're just going through the stages step by step. You know, whatever you feel from your heart for Krishna, you should be happy. Wow, I'm actually feeling something for Krishna after all these millions of births. Hari Bol. Does that help? Okay, thank you. We're meant to feel. We're human beings. We're not this matter. And if it's related to Krishna, here's what Krishna's saying in this verse. That anything related to Him is reality. So if you're feeling some emotion for Krishna, it's reality. Any other questions? Yes.
How is it possible that each day you actually get better and give us more nectar?
I don't know. It's just you. You have that, you're the well-wisher. So you're seeing through the eyes of a devotee. Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.